You should say them battles. I ain't never been scared of nothing in my life, dog. If I see it, I got it already. Gold bottles popping like it's 96. I never seen a brick. I pray to God my team get rich. Black bottles popping at your funeral. Dirty niggas for clean money. This shit is beautiful. Gold bottles popping like it's 96. I never seen a brick. I pray to God my team get rich.
Black bottles popping at your funeral. Dirty niggas for clean money. This shit is beautiful.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, only you a stare. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, only you a stare. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, only you a stare. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, only you a stare.
Did a deal with Puma.
What's up, what's up, what's up? And we back, ladies and gentlemen, we back.
Episode 3, we back, finally. Again.
Yes, we back, we back. I've been away. Trying to enjoy my last bit of summer. But I'm back. We back in full swing.
We're gonna get it started. We're gonna go ahead and get it started. And we got some good topics for you guys. So let's get into it. I'm gonna kick off.
You got a lot to say, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention.
Yeah, I do. Directed to you and your shithead owner and your Dallas Cowboys. You see, I said shithead owner. I didn't say anything about the Dallas Cowboys. I ain't say anything bad about that. So
you know better. We own you. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
Whatever. You don't own nothing, man. You know, today, of course, that we Jerry Jones came out and said that, you know, his players are going to stand for the national anthem. He also said that, you know, hand over heart. And he said that, you know, foot on the line. And anybody pretty much that go against that, they will be dealt with. He didn't say that, but he pretty much was saying that. Then his team know what was going on. So my thing is that when Malcolm Jenkins came out today and he said what he had to say about the anthem and how he is a bully and he's glad that he's not a part of that organization. And he want the other 31 owners to, you know, come out and say something. Because as you do know that the New York Giants owner said, well, co-owner said that he will pay the fines if his team kneels. If they get fined, they're going to, you know, he's going to take care of that. So I am proposing this question to you is basically how you feel about that. Because if Dak or Zeke, especially Zeke, who was your offense, if he kneels and sit on that sideline, do you think they're going to bench him? Do you think that they'll cut him? Because if they cut him and he's that pissed, we all know that 31 other teams will be knocking at Ezekiel Elliott's door. And we do know this. So that's my question to you. Go ahead, Dallas Cowboys fan, your team.
I'm going to propose this question to you.
Okay.
You go to work every day, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay. So you may not like what you have to do at work. You may not agree with the policies. You may not agree with the rules. But you have a job to do, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to get it done, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I feel as though you're there to do a job. You have to do what the boss says. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. You can call me a coon, call me a sellout, call me what you want. But at the end of the day, you have to provide for you and yours, okay?
Okay.
So if that's the sacrifice you have to make, cool.
Do it, huh?
I'm sorry to say that.
Okay.
But you go to work every day.
Okay.
It's not everything you agree with.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you know as well as I do, NFLPA is going to have something to say about that.
Okay.
And he's not just going to – I don't feel like he'll just hold it to, you know, this way or no way. Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll have some leniency once the NFLPA steps in mm-hmm. and he realizes that I have to listen to my players at some point.
Okay. So we talking about tier level jobs. Okay. So you propose a question to me, and I get what you're saying. That is true. We got to do what our our supervisor. I don't like saying the word bosses. It made me feel like I'm in a slave mentality of bosses. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. But moving on, you play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
You are the star defensive end. You done averaged double-digit sacks. You are, NFL, pro football focus. They got the stats on you and everything. You just the man on the D-line.
Okay.
You cause havoc. They can't – that line don't go unless you go.
Okay.
You get paid high dollar amount for your job.
Okay.
Do you think that if you stood up and say, you know what, I ain't with this. I'm not dealing with this right now. I ain't doing this right here. It's not me. Do you think that you'll get cut?
I wouldn't say I'd get cut, but I would handle it a different way. When I say I'd handle it a different way.
Even though he bullied you, because that's what he's doing.
I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day, you still have to respect him as an owner, and you do it respectfully.
How could you respect him as an owner when he has simply came out and said this today, and then he did that bullshit last year with the whole flag thing, and he is always him and Trump are always in each other's affairs. Like when Trump came out and said, "I commend Jerry Jones for what you're doing and all this other stuff." That's bullshit too.
And I agree with you
100%. So I mean, come on, D, come on now.
And when I say go to him respectfully, I mean you go knock on his office door, and you have a conversation with players of both races that have their like mindset on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're going to be ignorant, making yourself look crazy and be like, okay, this is why we have to control these apes, these animals, these possibly the N-words when he's behind his own closed doors.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Shithead owner, your shithead president. We all one of the same.
Okay.
Okay?
He's not my president. Okay. I ain't vote for him.
Okay, cool. That's fine. But you have to respect who's in the office.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's not our Now.
That's no here there. Go ahead.
I make this clear. I do not agree with Mr. Jones.
Okay.
Okay.
He said he do not agree with Mr. Jones.
I do not agree with Mr. Jones. But.
There's a but, people.
I love my Cowboys.
I got another one for you.
I will not buy any more merchandise. Too late. I already have a ticket. I will be sitting in the stadium. I'm going to see them play.
Okay.
I'm going to try to make another game, but I'm going to that one. September 9th, I will be in Carolina for the Cowboys versus the Panthers. If you're going to be there, let me know. Tailgating. Let me know. Holler at me. What's up? But the topic at hand again, let me repeat this to my co-host. I am not condoning what Jerry Jones is doing, saying his antics, none of that. But I'm not going to turn my back on the team I've loved since I was a kid playing the Sega Genesis.
Okay?
I can't just turn it off like some of you pretend to do. I'm not going to do that. Some of you might not watch. Cool, that's fine. That's your opinion. But don't crucify me for that. That's not me saying it.
How long you been a Dallas Cowboy fan?
Since the Sega Genesis days, you might as well say Madden, what, early 90s?
Oh, okay, then. Yeah.
Okay.
So you came in right at the time when
Trump... When they were on TV and they were winning. That's why I started liking the Cowboys. That's all I knew. At the time, the person in my life...
You was a Cowboy fan when the Jimmy Johnson era started? Or you was kind of in it when they first got that first championship?
I guess when around the era they were on TV heavily, so that's, I guess I say the second championship.
Okay, I got you.
So that's when I started.
That's
when I started liking them.
Yeah,
and that's when that just is no turning back since.
Can I tell you a story?
What? I'm listening. We got time.
Okay, cool. My dad. This is a long time ago, and he used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Used to be. That mean he changed?
You gonna let me tell the story?
My bad, I'm sorry.
This is about your Dallas Cowboys. So my dad used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. And when I was younger, I have a brother. He's older than me. So, you know, of course, as a father, you know, you want your kids to, you know, grow up like in sports, of course. My son don't, but it is what it is. But, you know, I don't force him on it. But he forced, I mean, he wanted my brother and myself to be Dallas Cowboy fans as well, too. And I see, I have seen pictures with me with a Dallas Cowboy hat.
You won't let them leak, will you?
You know, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? The blue and the silver Scully I had on. And my brother had his stuff on. And that's what, that's all. I mean, but I didn't even know about football. I just know that he just put it on because this is my son's and I'm a Dallas Cowboy.
Gotcha.
So as I got older and of course, a team was on TV and then, you know, San Fran, 49ers. I'm like, you know what? I'm rolling with this one. You know, the ball is moving like methodically down the field. I love it. But you know
what methodically was back then.
I do now. But okay, so the ball moving down the field, whatever, San Fran. But you know, and so when as time go on, my dad stopped. He was watching football, and he just stopped cheering for the Cowboys. But I really never knew why he stopped cheering because that was his team. He was a Cowboy fan. He was a diehard Cowboy fan. So he sat me down as I got older. I asked him, why you stopped being a Cowboy fan? And he said, man, I'm not really talking about that. Like, what you talking about? What happened? I mean, you know, because there had to be a reason why you stopped watching.
Of course.
You know, stopped watching your team. So it got to be some type of reason. Because they was winning, so you should enjoy that. And he said, long time ago, when he was coming up, he watched the Cowboys and he watched Tom Landry. And, you know, they had all the stars. What they had, what Tony Dorsett and who else they had on there? They had Starbuck and all of them. And he said, when the owner was getting ready to sell the team to Jerry Jones, he made it known that he wanted Tom Landry out. And I think he said that he was okay with him being out as the head coach. It's the way that Jerry Jones fired him. Because he fired him on his, I think he was on a golf course when he fired him. Like, you know, your service is no longer needed. We respect, you know, respect everything what you've done, but we don't need you anymore. And that's when he was like, you know what, man, I'm done. Like the class, I guess that the class that you what Cowboy was upholding, that was no longer no more. And as people, I'm guilty of it myself, especially with the Chicago Bulls. As people, you get used to a certain thing, and then when you get done with that certain thing, you're like, well, hell, they could have handled it a little bit different. I mean, I could have rocked with them, but damn, they didn't have to do him like that. It's like when the Chicago Bulls, when Michael Jordan just told them, hey, listen, I'm going to be good. Just take care of Pippen and Phil, and we're going to be back for another run. But when Jerry Cross and Jerry Rhymes would say, hey, listen, now we're going to get rid of Phil, and then we're going to do a sign and trade to Pippen down to Houston, and then, you know, you can make decisions. We're going to get you. And Jordan's like, I'm out. And I was like, I'm done with it. Because I love Mike, too, but I also was a Bulls fan. I'm like, fuck that. I'm gone. And so my thing is, why you can't say, you know what, man, this is my team. I love him to death. I really do. But all this stuff that he's doing and bullying these players, because they men. They, at the end of the day, they are men. They like me and you. Mm-hmm. They, I mean, you know, and they got their rights on certain stuff, just like how what's going on in the community around, you know, around the country. I mean, what's going on? All this crazy stuff that people call the police on. It's pretty much the same thing. It's not about the flag. It's not about the flag. It's about what's going on in the community, and then we not being, you know, recognizant on what we are doing as Americans. Then how can you still say, "Hey, listen, this is my team. I'm rocking with them, regardless of the fact they men and they got to go with this civil. They do, but how much can you take? How much can you take? He did it last year. But he forced them where they like you. Look, you kneel. This is how we rocking over here. This year, he's saying the same stuff or it's going to be handled. I don't understand that. I don't get that part. And that's my thing with the whole Cowboy. And I'm not a Cowboy hater. Like, I used to be a long time ago. But I'm looking at it from another, you know, another angle of besides the sports. because the product gonna be put on the field. It's just that how he doesn't respect the players, and that's the messed up thing I have about it. Now that's all I'm saying about it.
Okay, and I hear you. I respect your opinion. I guess me being, I don't know if the word is naive, but I don't think that deeply into it, I guess.
I got you.
I don't think about it like that. I'm not really big into politics for those who know me.
Mm-hmm.
I try to dip my toes in it. It sounds silly, but it's too political to me, if that makes sense, if you follow what I'm saying. It doesn't. It's just hard to
process.
Yeah, and that's a great word. Hard to process, take it all in, however you want to put it. It's a lot. I'm too far behind. It's never too late to start learning. But I do what I can on my end, far as with voting. I do what I can as far as, you know, trying to keep up with the portion that I do understand. I have a great group of friends who inform me on what's going on our current shithead president and other political things that are happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't know enough about it to speak fully and then go in depth, deep dive.
I
don't watch TV. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch all of that.
Gotcha.
I get what's important. I get the meat and potatoes from them.
I got you.
But with that being said, with the Cowboys, to answer your question, what other team am I going to go to? So am I supposed to not like the Cowboys and go like another team, or just not like the NFL? Period.
No, I'm not. I don't think you should not like the Cowboys. Cowboys, because that's your team. But I think what I'm trying to say is that when, you know, you, of course, you're watching them and stuff, I think that you should have more. I can't think that you should have more, because your feelings is your feelings. I think that you, I hope that you would say to yourself, man, this is messed up. What are you doing to the players?
Of course. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. What's going on in this country, from our president to our government to our so-called police to our so-called, you know, just the businesses,
mm-hmm.
all of that. I don't feel is right. Of course, I'm human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I guess you could say African-American. I don't know what the proper term is anymore. So with that being said,
a black man in America.
Okay, perfect. A black man in America.
A black man in America.
We're treated basically like the ground we walk on. We're getting treated like shit right now. Excuse my language. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. We're getting treated like that. And it's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back in time instead of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are okay with that. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like with the Dallas Cowboys, I try to block out the political stuff.
Because
I'm focused on the game.
I got you.
I'm not worried about what happens before or after.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the game.
Yeah, and listen, it's the same way with me too. When the Kaepernick thing hit with San Fran, the owner came out and said they support Cap when he was doing.
That after meant, the fact, right?
No, when he kneeled,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they figured out what he was kneeling for. They said this. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they said we support him for what, you know, what he's doing. That's what he wants to do. That's what we will support him.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people said, well, you know, it's messed up that he don't have a job. You know, San Fran should have signed him, whatever. What people have to understand with this whole Kaepernick thing is that Cap had an option to opt out his contract to go and be a free agent. And he chose that.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't think that I think it's 50-50. I think he knew he was going to get backlash from kneeling. But I think that he thought that he was going to at least land a job somewhere. Now it's messed up that he didn't land a job.
True.
Because he is better than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right now. Right, starting and bench.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes,
Let's
yes.
make that clear.
I mean, yeah, he is. I'm making that clear right now.
Yes.
I mean, he took us to a Super Bowl and three NFC championships. Yeah, three.
You can't ask for more.
You can't ask for more. I mean, you got a quarterback competition going on right now in Buffalo.
I can't even tell you the quarterback's name.
It's going to be the guy that backed up Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. He played
McCarron. AJ McCarron.
They got the guy that threw it the five interception within 30 seconds.
Was it not Pittman from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittman, I guess, they got him. And they just drafted Josh Allen.
Okay.
They got him.
Okay.
USC? So, no, the one from Wyoming.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they got him.
Okay.
He's better. He's better than all of them put together.
Resume. And he's better than what's down in Miami. No disrespect.
Oh, he's better. Yeah, yeah.
He's better than Tannehill. He's better than Cutler.
Cutler gone. He's done.
Okay.
He's more definitely better than Tannehill by far.
Yes. Yes.
But to get back on everything, I understand where you're coming from. That is your team, and you look at it from a football aspect. So I totally get it. I just wanted to present it to you to see what your take on it was with your owner, because even though that I'm not a Cowboy fan, I just wanted, to me, it just messed up how he treat them guys down there. You know?
So and I'm going to say this. I knew nothing about this, oddly enough. He just blindsided me with this. I knew nothing about this. This is news to me. I really, literally just sat here and looked it up and see what was said.
Came out today, right? Yesterday. I think it came out yesterday. He said it at the training camp yesterday about the national anthem. And that's when it came out. And then it got talked about today on, of course, the sports shows, ESPN, Undisputed, and things like that. But I'm just bringing it up today because I want to hear your opinion on it.
Okay.
I don't think you got blindsided. I think it's more so that I just want to get your take on it because you are a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay. That's fair. I say I was blindsided. I knew nothing about it.
He blindsided.
I have not watched TV. I've been watching Last Chance U. Haven't turned on the TV, Netflix. And I'm going in the Orange is the New Black tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Okay. So don't bother me. Right. Anyway.
So moving on.
Let's get to these Falcons.
Oh.
let's get to these Falcons. We're going to keep it in football. Let's get to Mr. Julio.
He's good now.
Apparently.
He's back at camp.
He's back at camp.
After he said that he wasn't going to play, go to training camp, he's back.
He's back. He realized after he saw that lineman get all the money, he realized they're not going to play with me. That's how I look at it. When they signed that lineman for what, $75 million, 5 years, whatever the case was?
Mm-hmm. $75 million because they gave the other lineman the same amount of years but gave him $80 million.
Tennessee. Yes. You realize you're going to get your money. You go out there and play, you're going to get your money. But you got to understand, Julio, you had a lot of drops last year.
Are you blaming his situation on drops?
I'm not saying.
I like Julio, but I'm not like the Julio fan club. I know someone else, but
you got your contract. Fulfill the contract. I feel the same way about Earl Thomas, Seattle.
Okay,
go ahead and trade him. Send him on to Dallas. Let him come on and play where he wants to be.
Okay,
go ahead.
No, you good.
I just feel like players should fulfill their contract before they start demanding. I understand what happened to prime example. This is kind of off the sport, Isaiah Thomas.
No, it's on point what you about to say.
I agree. You go out there, blood, sweat, and tears for a team. You get hurt. They throw you out there to the pasture for you to retire in graze. Mm-hmm. A la Isaiah Thomas. A la what Le'Veon Bell's fighting for. A la what Darnold's fighting for. I mean, Arnold is fighting for out in St. Louis. Is that his name? Not Arnold, but
you talking about Aaron LA Donald?
Aaron Donald, yes. Fighting for. I get it.
But Aaron Donald is still on his rookie contract. But I do understand why he wants to get paid because he's an animal on that D line.
Yes,
he is that guy.
And that's the same thing with Odell. That's the same thing Antonio Brown was doing. I feel like you should fulfill your contract no matter what. I understand you are top five in your position. You work for that. That's what you want to be. Mm-hmm. You sign a contract your rookie year, fulfill it. You sign a contract your first, second year, fulfill it.
Okay.
Don't go out here just because you happen to be the best at your position or top five in your position, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm not going to play because I want more money.
Okay.
I feel like that you're not – okay, for people in everyday life,
mm-hmm.
you go out there, you're top in whatever position you are. You're top salesman, you're top this, you're top that.
Mm-hmm.
You get rewarded, you have incentives. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that, you have endorsements coming, you have shoe deals coming, you have other sources of money coming in. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come out just, okay, hey, you know what? I'm Odell Beckham. I had a one-handed catch with three fingers that got me on the spotlight.
That's when he turned to OBJ.
That's when he turned to OBJ.
When he turned to OBJ. Same thing what happened when Terrell Owens caught the path of Steve Young in Green Bay in 19.
Crying.
Yeah, he was crying. That's when he turned to T.O.
Everybody gets their persona from one specific event. Cool, fine, I get it. But still fulfill your contract, man. Don't go out here being silly on social media, talking reckless towards a team that feeds you.
That's how you feel about this Julio Jones situation.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
That's me personally.
Tell me when it's my turn.
That's how I feel personally. Okay. Some, many, all may not agree.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm gonna let Mr. Eric have the floor since he's foaming out the mouth waiting for me to finish. So I'm gonna let him have it.
No, because you made a good point, because I agree with you that, hey, listen, you did sign this contract. I totally believe what you're saying. You need to fulfill your obligations towards the contract.
Correct.
But this is the problem with the contract. So when he signed the contract, that made him one of the highest paid receivers at the moment of time.
Correct.
So, of course, the market has dictated to change that because you had AB, you got
Odell,
DeAndre Hopkins, Baldwin,
Mike Evans.
So things have changed since then. So the Canada dropped him down to 8th. From what I have been hearing and watching and seeing stuff as well. So what the problem with the contract is, the first 3 years were guaranteed to him. Okay? Feel me on this. The first 3 years are guaranteed because it's a 6-year deal. So with that, after the third year, Atlanta Falcons don't have no ties to him if they don't. They can release him, waive him, do whatever they want to after this season. So what he got? So what he's mad about is that he's seen that money that Matt Ryan got, and he knows that Matt Ryan is a second tier quarterback. He do know this. I mean, he's not blind to this. I mean,
oh, I hope you Falcons fans heard that.
Yeah,
that's slight. Listen closely.
Yeah,
he's gonna repeat himself. Say
yeah,
it again.
He is a second tier quarterback. Now listen. That's
see
not
money. I know you listening.
Now that's not to say that he's not important to your franchise.
See money. I know you listening.
Now he is important to the franchise because he is a valuable quarterback to that franchise, but he don't fall in that category with Tom Brady, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, the Phillip Rivers. He don't fall the Big Bens.
So he put Phillip Rivers up there with the top tier, but not Russell Wilson. And he
listen. First let me get my point across.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Phillip Rivers is a top tier quarterback. Russell Wilson is too, but I mean he's still young at this thing. Phillip Rivers been putting up numbers for a while.
Okay.
For a while. So back to the point. Back to my point. So they could cut him and say, you know what, we done. We don't got to pay you this money. Because they're looking at like, look, we got a young stud in Ridley. We just drafted Ridley. He sees that. He know they got Sanu still, which Sanu is not meant to be a number one, but he know that. So he like, look, I want this money. I want to do a little reconstruction on my contract. I need to do a revamp on my contract. So what they did was they said, you know what? This dude is important to the organization. He important to Matt Ryan's success.
Hmm.
So we got to get him into this camp. So they gave him, instead of giving him the money over, I think they said in 2019, 2020, whatever they're going to do, they gave it to him now, the $2.9 million, what you done seen, that they giving it to him now for starting the season. And then they said they will give him a good faith that they will redo his contract after this season. So that's how he got in training camp. But if you go back and look at 2015, that's when Kyle Shanahan came in place, right?
Okay.
Because that's when they got Dan Quinn. He had 136 receptions, 1,871 yards, and 8 touchdowns. In 2016, he had 83 receptions, 1,409 yards, and had 6 touchdowns. Those are the 2 years he had with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan leaves, take over the job with my San Francisco 49ers, and he still had 1,400 yards, over 1,400 yards, but he only had 3 touchdowns. Now
he dropped a couple in Chicago.
He dropped a few. I know you're going to throw that up in there. He dropped a few. He did. He dropped a big one in Carolina, too.
Hmm.
He dropped a big one in Carolina. But he dropped a few. But my thing is that they go as far as Julio goes. Now, Julio is 29 years old. He's in that prime where he knows that he don't have too many paydays coming. So he's trying to get his. So I'm not mad that he's trying to get his money. Like I said, I do agree with you that you need to fulfill that contract. But the market has changed and has dictated where other receivers. He's better than Mike Evans. He's better than Mike Evans. He is. Now, I'm gonna get, now,
is he bigger and faster than Mike Evans, or is he better than Mike Evans?
He's better than Mike Evans in all facets of the game.
Okay.
You don't believe that?
I'm not arguing. I'm just listening, sir.
I mean, that's what I – hey, listen. I'm just giving you my opinion on what I think about Julio Jones. Now, he's not in my top five, but like we said this before. We talked about this before. He's not in my top five.
Julio Jones is not in your top five?
No, he's not in my top five.
Can I ask who is?
I think we discussed this before. I mean, we did this on the first part on episode one, and we don't need to go.
Okay,
we don't need to go back to this, but he's not in my top five.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, to each his own. But that's the reason why he was fighting for that money, and that's all I'm gonna say. But hopefully that the Atlanta Falcons can feel what I'm saying. Don't knock on Matt Ryan. You know, solid quarterback, but he do fall in that second tier ranking. But hey, it is what it is. Go ahead.
Julio. Just like you say, he threw out the numbers at you, right?
From 2015 to 2017, I didn't go down to
okay.
11 to 14.
Okay, I give it to you with the subpar quarterbacks that Mike Evans had.
Subpar quarterback. He had Jameis Winston. So you can call Jameis Winston subpar?
Are you calling Jameis Winston top two tier?
I mean, listen.
Are you calling Jameis Winston top two tiers? What I asked you.
Are you saying he's a subpar quarterback?
I'm not answering my question, ladies and gentlemen. I rest my case.
No, I'm not answering the question till I mean,
is Jameis Winston top two tier quarterback? Yes or no, Eric?
He's not top two tier.
Okay, then. So he's subpar.
I'm not going to say he's subpar. I'm not going that right now. Subpar is Joe Flacco.
Flacco got a Super Bowl.
Off of what? That defense.
I have nothing to do with that. He managed the game, did what he had to do.
He better than Joe Flacco.
Back then or now?
We got to judge it from what it is. He's better than Joe Flacco now.
Now, okay, you're going current day. Okay. So now. Okay.
Hell, I want to say back then too. Shit,
he's
been better than Eli Manning the last 2 years.
Oh goodness. Okay.
Don't do Florida State like that, but go ahead though.
Oh, that's why you're shooting him bail.
No, I'm not.
Florida State thing. Okay.
Nah, don't do Florida State like that.
Dog. Okay, forget all that. Now, with Jameis Winston, as I was saying,
yeah.
Mike Evans in his 4 years, 1,051 yards, 1,206 yards, 1,321 yards, and 1,001 yards. Touchdowns, right? 12, 3, 12, and 5.
Okay.
Now, let's put that in comparison with Julio.
You doing Julio first 4 years?
No, I'm doing the last 4 years, period. The last four, which you marked. You gave 14 to 14, right? Well, Shanahan got there. Is that 15?
I did. No, I did 15 on up to 17.
Okay. So with that, 14. Mike Evans gave you three. Julio had three last year. Mike Evans had 12 in 2016. Julio had six. Mike Evans gave you five in 2017. Julio gave you, like I said, three. So, you're going to call Julio Jones better than Mike Evans.
I'm going to call Julio Jones better than Mike Evans. I am. I'm going to call Julio Jones
based upon, now I'm not speaking of because he's 6 feet, no, whatever,
no.
And can move. I'm speaking of talent, what he has, given with Matt Ryan being a top 15 to 20 quarterback. Let's say top 15, let's say 10 to 15
that's
quarterback.
Tier two, that's a second tier quarterback.
Okay. I didn't say that he did. I'm speaking of.
You trying to put me on blast?
You know what?
Just say
I'll give NFL. I'll give Matt Ryan six to 12. Be fair. I'm going to be fair because you're not going to give me 15 quarterbacks better than Matt Ryan. You can't give me 15 better than Matt Ryan. There's 32 teams in the league. Half of the league is not better than Matt Ryan. I don't like Matt Ryan, but you can't give me 15 quarterbacks better than Matt Ryan. Think about that while I say this. Now, with what Mike Evans was given, playing with Tampa Bay Bucks.
He bottled 15.
Okay. Playing with the Tampa Bay Bucks, I like Mike Evans over Julio Jones. Off skill set, I'm not speaking of his natural ability, what his parents gave him, height and speed. I'm not speaking of that. Just off skill set and what he's given, you give me Mike Evans. Julio, he just not it for me. Yes, he's fast. He'll run up. Yes, he's all of that. He's fast. I like Mike Evans' hands better than I do Julio's, and you do too.
I'm on record saying that he's not in my top five.
Okay, I'm just making this clear.
I'm just throwing
Julio,
out.
Julio, shut up. Catch the ball.
I'm throwing out the stats due to the fact what he sees and how he knows what he does for Matt Ryan.
I get that.
That's all I'm doing.
And I'm making a point that all you Falcon fans who feel a certain kind of way about this situation, you need to evaluate why you're so adamant about Julio. Yes, he's a decoy, but
you know he draws double teams.
I agree.
You know that he get them down there to the field, but then they don't feed him the ball in the end zone. Sarkisian came over in 2017. He had three touchdowns. Sarkisian came over. He had three touchdowns. But Kyle Shanahan, with his MVP year, they went to the Super Bowl in 2016. He balled. Matter of fact, he balled in 2015. He had eight touchdowns with Kyle Shanahan. But Sarkisian took over. Nothing changed from him. Nothing changed. He had three touchdowns. Took him all the way down the field, and then they go do something stupid or whatever. And
Matty Ice.
And either Ryan throwing an interception, or they hand it off to Freeman or Coleman, or they doing the ball to Sanu. I'm just calling for what it is. I'm not just saying, like I said, I'm not a Julio fan, but I'm giving you what it is, because he gets them down there. He puts the work in from whatever they start on the 20 and going down to the field, or they start on the 35 or 40 and going down the field. Julio is going to get that ball. But then somehow he's invisible to them. He turned Casper and Matt Ryan eyes and looks another way and goes to that tight end, or he's going to Freeman, or he's going to Sanu. I don't understand. Because there's no way you have 1,400 yards and they have three touchdowns. There's no way. It's impossible to me. Double team. Listen, he's getting double team, and he still had 1,444 yards and had 88 receptions. And he was somewhat banged up this past year. So you got to give him some props. Now, I get the fact what you're saying about Mike Evans. They don't have another weapon on side of Mike Evans. So they just got
Deshaun Jackson,
and he didn't impact the game in no kind of way, so the ball's still going to him. Jameis Winston don't spread that ball around now. Now we gotta be honest for what it is. He don't spread that ball around like that. Now, Matt Ryan do spread the ball around, but the ball's still going to Julio pretty much the majority of the time. At least 75% that ball is going to Julio. We know this. So I get what you're saying that Mike Evans have this, but for us, the toughness, the speed, hard to cover. I mean, listen, he's not in my top five, but I'm going to give the man props on this. He's tough to cover, man.
Okay.
He's tough to cover.
Okay.
But, I mean, who else you – I mean, you know, AB number one. I mean, that's just what it is. But they tried to dick you, man. They tried – I mean, but he had a contract, and you all right. You have a valid point. That cannot be left unsaid. You have a valid point that Julio need to fulfill the contract. He was looking at it like, look, you can cut me. Release me, trade me, do whatever you want to do. Once I use you, I got a young stud here in Calvin Ridley. Yeah, we don't know what Calvin Ridley going to do, but that's how he look at it. Because he is 29 years old. He's going to be 30 February the 8th.
Running around with T.O. didn't help, in my opinion, either. I get if you're in shape, I get that. But don't be my thing is don't be disrespectful to the organization.
He wasn't disrespectful.
I mean,
he wasn't disrespectful.
It was on social media. That's a slight.
Well, he was not sure. I don't follow him on social media.
I mean, you working out, doing all this extra stuff on social media, running 40 times a T.O. No, just show up at camp and do your job.
Everybody works out with someone in the off season. Chad Johnson worked out with AB.
It's not about that. Hell, AB and Cam was working together a couple weeks ago. I get all of that.
Yeah, what I'm saying is Cam ass in the damn on that beach. Had Cam about to damn die there. For them Carolina fans too. For them Carolina fans, I do want to make this shit clear. Mm. Cam Newton has been on record saying that he is nervous. Look, make sure you hear these words. He is nervous coming into this upcoming season. You know why he's nervous? Because he has a real live coordinator who's not going to take that shit like that, what he used to doing. They're freelancing. Norv Turner is not going for that. Am I right? Am I right?
Carolina, I'm telling you.
He's nervous. He was doing that shit with Shula, and they catered that offense to him, and you run, tuck the ball. If it's not there, you go. But this is like 3-5 steps. You need to go through your progressions and see it and throw it. And swing pass out to McCaffrey. I mean, let's be honest. Noah Turner's not no fluke coordinator now. He's a well-established coordinator in the NFL. So we're going to go on and make that known.
If you can't get it together, Carolina, this year with that defense y'all preach upon. Y'all preach on that defense. I want to see that defense September 9th now. When you go for 150.
And let's be honest. They did not use McCaffrey right at all.
Definitely not. They had their moments, but definitely they didn't utilize
the key. He struggles. You know, have you ever noticed with Carolina, not to be off subject with Julio, but have you ever noticed with Carolina that when they draft a receiver, how tall are they?
They always 6'2", 6'3". They're always sizable
receivers, right?
Correct.
Except for the one they just got recently from Maryland, that he's a dog.
But he's about 6'2", 6'3".
I think he's about 5'11".
Are you sure?
I thought he was about 5'11".
Let me look
He may be right at 6 foot. Maybe.
Let me look.
I'm thinking he's about 6 foot. But he's a dog. He can go get that ball at the highest point. He can. But I think he's about 6 foot, if I'm not mistaken. He may be 6'1". They may be giving him 6'1".
You got him 6 feet. You're right. You're right.
Okay.
You're right. But my thing is, Cam's still going to overthrow him, like I told you last time.
Exactly. So because they know him, Funches, bit receiver from Michigan. Kevin Benjamin, bit receiver from Florida State. Mm-hmm. When they go and got Cotry, a bit receiver, veteran receiver, but he's a bit receiver out there when they got him from Philadelphia. He cannot work with small receivers like an Edelman. He can't work with a small receiver like an Amendola or like an OBJ. He can't do that. Everything got to be tall receivers because the ball is not accurate enough. You know, it's all out there. So he needs somebody that can jump up and get his ball. But that's no here and there. We're not talking about Carolina. We just own Julio. And we're saying, I'm just saying how they try to get him. And I kind of feel them trying to stand. I mean, hold out a camp. They know, man. Look, they know they need Julio. They know. Of course. They not dumb. That's why they say, listen, we'll give you the 2.9 now instead of waiting for the 2019, whatever we was going to give you. And then we'll give his, in good faith, were you going to be a Falcon for life? And that's what it did. So I'm off topic of it. I'm moving on from it. It is what it is.
Okay. We're going to have the same conversation, just a different sport. Moving on to Mr. Syracuse. Mr. Carmelo.
I got a lot to say about this.
Mr. Underperformed, in my opinion, if you want to. That's just how I feel. Mr. Carmelo Anthony. Who just was traded and waived, released, however you want to put it, by the Atlanta Falcons.
Bought out
by the
OKC.
OKC or Atlanta Hawks?
OKC traded him to the Hawks, you're right.
And they bought out his contract to let him go be a free agent. And he took his talents to the Houston Rockets.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, not officially yet, but he's
– that's where he's pondering where he wants to go.
It's probably inevitable he's going anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't want him in L.A., so don't even think about it. Mm. Okay? So, my thing is, everyone's going to give me the argument he's a 10-time All-Star. Okay? After that, what has he done? Besides gold medals on a stacked team, what has Carmelo Anthony done besides make All-Star games that are fan voted? Mm-hmm. What else has he really done besides collect check after check after check?
Oh, he get his money.
He's getting his money. Winning is not a priority for him. He's okay with getting a check, getting the bag. I'm not mad at you for that. But at some point, you have to have the desire, the urge to. You going out there just busting your ass for 82 games if you play a whole season to just collect a check? Mm-hmm. You have to strive to win a championship, man. Mm-hmm. I just don't see he's ever had the urge. Besides, I said when he was in Denver, maybe. We ran across my Lakers. Mm-hmm. Where he wanted to win. After that, he's been subpar. I feel like one of my good friends say, when he gets the ball, it's a black hole. He does nothing with it. You know his moves. Couple head fakes, pump fakes, hit you with that jumper. He might drive, get you a tough layup. That's it. No move without the ball. You know he going to the baseline. You know what he's going to give you. He open, he'll give you the three to the head. But after that, Melo's pretty much done, in my opinion. I can't put Melo on this high category. Yes, he did get buckets back in the day. He's just not like that right now. Mm-hmm. In the draft class, he came in with LeBron, with Wade, with Bosh. You comparing them, I don't see Melo as a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't see it. If you see anything different, let me know. I don't see it.
Okay. So, your points about Carmelo is on point. This is, I told a guy this long time ago, he argued me down. I said, listen, man, he's not an A-level star. He's a B-level, low B-level star. You know, I always say this about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony game is dictated on good point guard play. Because if you really think about it, he was successful at Denver when they had Chauncey Billups. You remember that?
Yes.
Like when they went to the Western Conference Finals against your Lakers. Yep. I mean, they pushed them to six games?
Six games, correct.
I mean, that was a tough series. I mean, I thought that Denver could have came out that series at Fred. I was like, man, this thing is getting serious.
Disrespectful.
I mean, I'm just being – look, we talking about sports, so I'm just being honest. I thought they were like, man, this thing could really go seven. But you saw how he played off the ball because he had good point guard play. Chauncey put him in good spots.
That's true.
So Carmelo did the Cardinals say he wanted to go home. It's the same as when Stephon Marbury wanted to go home and play for the New York Knicks. When he was in Minnesota, he died to get out of Minnesota. They sent him to New Jersey. He balled, but it wasn't close enough. He wanted to play in the Garden. So they said, oh, you're not happy. We're going to send you on over to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And guess what he did? He balled in Phoenix.
I'm sure did.
And then he still was complaining to get home. And when he finally got home, he was awful at New York. He was awful. So Carmelo, I want to go home. But when he left to go home, they gave up the whole team for him.
They did.
They gave up the whole team, but then Mike Brown was coaching, but they made the playoff the first year he was there, though. They made the playoff the first year. They had good point guard play because, what you call it, they brought in Chauncey Billups, but he was hurt. Then they brought in they had Baron Davis. He had got hurt.
Mm.
But there was old point guard. They was coming out. They was on their last leg. They never got a good point guard play. Then they fired Mike Brown. They brought in D'Antoni.
That was some more issue where he just walked away, just quit.
I mean,
it's got to be me or Melo.
That's
what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna help out. I'm gonna leave first.
I mean, so and D'Antoni, you know, he can't really coach. Melo can't play that style of offense.
I don't see how it's gonna work when he does get
exactly, because you know if you realize D'Antoni was the one that killed Kobe's career. D'Antoni, Mike D'Antoni, was the one that killed Kobe's career in L.A.
That's fair.
Because he pushed the nigga when they up and down offense.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? And Kobe was older. He still was balling, but he was older. He couldn't run like that no more like that, man. You just can't do Kobe like that.
That's why I don't see how he's going to fit in Houston now, because Melo is not going to move without the ball.
Now, this is what I will say. Now, this is going to – now I'm circling it back around. Now, I don't know if he's going to be effective in Houston if he lands in Houston. But you remember when I started off, Carmelo had Chauncey Billups
at point guard.
And when he had Chauncey Billups at point guard, he put him in the right spots where he needed to be so he can get them buckets and he balled.
True.
Now, I'm saying that he has Chris Paul. Now, James Harden is the pity-pat man. Everything, ball stops, step back, 4-5 steps, and he's going to shoot the ball. But I'm not saying that Carmelo is going to be Carmelo of old, but I think Carmelo can kind of somewhat resurrect his career with a good point guard with Chris Paul if Chris Paul can stay healthy. Now, you're right. His performance has been declining since he's been in New York. He stayed in New York way too long. He stayed in New York way too long. He should have been left 3 years ago. That didn't work out for him. And then I don't think that he needs to be in a big market team. I always thought he needed to go to Charlotte.
What?
I always thought he needed to go to Charlotte because the pressure is not on him. He can go down there, he can get his baskets, got a young team, Kemba Walker, and it's not asking of him to be so much. Like, you go down there and be yourself. And he may can lead them into maybe an eight seed. You don't possibly. But it's Charlotte, so the expectation is not as high as him being in New York or him being in with the big three with PG and Russ and him. It's not asking of him to be so much.
So what are they asking for in Houston? He said he's not coming off the bench.
Oh, he already said he's not coming off the bench. He already said he's not coming off the bench.
So who you taking out?
He's going to start. He's going to take Trevor Reza's spot. Trevor Reza went to Phoenix.
You're right.
So he's going to take that spot. But the problem is, can he sustain that energy of running up and down? Well, and everybody say he don't play defense. Hell, Mike D'Antoni teams don't play defense, so that's going to fit perfect for him.
So now, let me ask you this. How do you stop? What is that, the answer to Golden State?
Yeah, they're not beating Golden State.
Okay.
Nobody's beating Golden State.
Are they still a second seed?
Yeah, they're probably a second seed.
So you feel they're a second seed?
Yeah, I mean, between them, OKC. probably OKC probably a third. Portland probably fourth. Portland been in the playoffs consistently. They just can't get out.
I wish I could see my face right now. I'm hiding my face in my
Who else heart. Could be a fourth seed? You talking about Lakers? Lakers probably a fifth seed. Fourth, I mean, Portland and Lakers probably between a fourth and a fifth seed. But you see, I mean, we don't know what Utah going to do. We don't know what Minnesota would do.
So what you're telling me is the Lakers will not be higher than a fifth seed?
Possibly four.
Holy shit.
I mean, D, y'all young, man. I mean, that's not a bad spot.
Who young? What's left besides the core? Oh, Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball.
They're not kids?
I said who's young besides them. All that.
That's your core. That's going to be.
No. What we brought in? There's nothing young about that.
I mean, I like who you brought in.
We have brought in the recipe to beat a Golden State.
Nah, I'm not.
With physicality and IQ.
Who you brought in for physicality?
Beasley. LeBron don't have to worry about KD no more. I'm not saying, before you look at me crazy, I'm not saying Beasley going to go in there and shut him down. But he's going to be a better defender than Klay Thompson was. He has that physicality, what P.J. Tucker did, what P.J. Tucker brought. P.J. Tucker was the shortest dude on the court. Guess what? Still getting rebounds over Draymond, over Klay, over Looney. It's a physical aspect with the Lakers brought in. Lance Stevenson, somebody just to agitate you.
That big time.
Just something to agitate you. Rondo, floor general. I can contain Curry. I can do what I got to do with Curry.
You acting like I said y'all going to be an eight seed.
And I'm letting you know we're going to be higher than a four seed. Mark my word, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean.
Don't be shocked if we're a two. Don't expect OKC to be up there. Expect Utah to be up there.
Utah not going to be no two
Houston seat. Is not going to be up there.
I mean, okay.
They lost a defender and a reason. The defender that he was. You're giving up a lot.
He was trash on offense. He couldn't do with the same stuff he did. Man, his points didn't make an impact like that, so who cares? They lost him. Okay, so what? They lost him.
Was defense.
They still got P.J. Tucker.
And guess what they're going to do? Shoot right over P.J. Tucker ball head.
I'm just saying they still got P.J. Tucker. A reason is not like they lost a lot. They just signed Capella for $90 million.
Like a fool. 90?
5 years.
90.
90 million.
That's ridiculous. He's not worth 90.
Well, I mean.
He can't even shoot.
He can't. You know what? Back on the Carmelo thing, I want to say this. You know what would be a good spot for Carmelo?
Hold that thought. All right, we back. So now, finish your mellow sentiment. What you got to say?
As I process everything, and I thought about this today, you know what would be a great fit for Melo? Like a perfect fit?
Portland
would have been – Portland, he should have been Portland before he went to OKC. Because C.J. McCollum and Damon Lillard at one – because, you know, I said he played great with good point guard play. Mm-hmm. But this is going to blow your mind. You're like, huh, I never thought of this.
I said Miami.
No. He will be great in Philly. He'll be great in Philly because Ben Simmons can't shoot, but Ben Simmons can play point guard, and he can. And how Ben Simmons play point guard, he can put them in the right position where he wants them to be or where they need to be.
Does that beat Boston?
That can kind of push Boston a little bit. You can kind of push Boston
with
a little bit.
A healthy Kyrie and a healthy Gordon, and the way Jason Tatum has been playing out of his mind and only getting better, working out with Kobe, working out with Embiid, getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I said push. I didn't say win. I just said push a little bit.
Okay.
I'm saying push. But I'm saying Carmelo liked to play his back to the basket. So does Embiid. But that don't stop the flow. That doesn't stop the flow of what Ben Simmons does, because he's still going to go to the rack and get his too. And then you got your shooters outside, like little J.J. Redick, and you got the Markel Fultz still coming in, trying to learn his game.
Trying to get Fultz out of town. Wait a second. What are you going to... You're going to have Ben Simmons and Fultz on the... You can't have both on the court at the same time.
No, I'm not saying that you have Fultz and Ben Simmons on the court at the same time. I'm just saying that Markelle Fultz will come in and spell Ben Simmons, you know, like he would, like he needs to do, you know, like he would do as a backup point guard. I'm just saying that that would fit him pretty well in Philly with what they got. They don't run the ball a lot. They play half court ball.
Okay.
They push where they need to push, and they got a young nucleus down there. Plus Embiid in the low post, Carmelo on the block as well. I mean, I think that'll kind of fit with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons can't go get a jumper from Walmart. They sold out. He can't buy one right now, which I don't understand.
Ah, that's funny.
He can't buy a jumper at Walmart. But what I'm saying is that with that being said, that he can go to Philly and probably, you know, be a great player for them. He probably will average around about 20, 22 points a game. Easy. It's not like Philly got some studs on that wing. I mean, they got some okay players, but it's not like they got a stud, and that will bring a star status because he's still a star, B level star, but that's a big time star. Embiid and Ben Simmons are budding stars, but Carmelo is that veteran star that still his name still holds weight.
I agree.
His name still holds weight a little bit.
So let me ask you this. So this goes away from what you said, then being in a big market.
It does. It goes away from being in that big market. But Philly is not that super duper market like a LA or Golden State or that Boston.
Golden State is a big market?
You don't think Golden State is a big market ever since they won them championships? That has came up.
I give this dynasty what they call a dynasty of the 2-3 years at the most.
That's a long 2-3 years, a long time.
I think KD's gone after this contract.
So you think he'll go buck on down damn Tinseltown with LeBron?
I'm not saying that, but I don't think he's there after this contract. Personally, that's just my opinion, people. I just don't think he's there.
Fair enough.
I think Klay's gone. Klay's getting tired of playing second, third fiddle.
So you're thinking that your guy's going to say, "Hey, listen, come on over down here to Tinseltown.
I need a shooter."
You need a shooter.
So I need a shooter.
So you said, "Come on down here to Tinseltown with LeBron." Huh?
I need a shooter.
I'm not mad at what you did. Y'all got New Jersey too. You say New Jersey.
I need a shooter, and I can't wait.
I don't like.
I'm getting me a Lance Stevenson jersey.
I don't like a little New Jersey like that.
I gotta be little New Jersey? You just say Jersey. It ain't gotta be little.
It's a guy that cut hair by the name of Speedy. I don't know if you know Speedy.
I know Speedy.
And back in the day, he always used to say, "Hey, what your little boy doing, man? Y'all little boy love wearing those little polos, huh?" And they be normal side, but he always said, "Man, y'all little boys always like wear them little Nikes on." You know, so that's what Speedy always said, man. So I'm just sad. I mean, you know, I think the team is I told my boy this, and you're gonna be blowed about this. Cause you probably, oh hell no. I know how your ass think, but this is gonna be crazy. You guys are in the same situation as the San Francisco 49ers for as how you guys went about handling your business. Feel me on this. Young. We was young. New coach. We had a new coach. Had Atlanta Big Fish, who was pretty much the Big Fish coming out for his quarterback, besides the Kirk Cousins. I don't believe he's the Big Fish. Everybody was kind of see about Garoppolo. Pretty much everybody was asking about G-Ro. You know what I'm saying? So
G-Ro.
Who's
dating a porn star?
He's not dating a porn star. We don't date with him, but he's not dating a porn star. He learned from it. But moving on. But who was your Big Fish? King James. So, stat teams. L.A. Rams stacked up. Dominican Sue. Donald. Put Peters.
Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks.
Aqib Talib. Y'all went and got players that have done it, signed to 1-year contracts, similar deals what San Fran did. But the thing is that what make this thing so crazy that John Lynch, the GM for us, and the GM Magic Johnson for you guys, said pretty much the same thing about the Rams and how y'all asked them, and when they asked them about Golden State when they signed Boogie Cousins. Hey, listen. I'm not scared of competition. And I respect that because that's the same thing. You guys are building something. It's the building blocks. Mm-hmm. And with LeBron James going down there, he going to make them boys believe. Now, the thing is that I hope that he don't turn them into just stand still, wait for the ball. Let that ball move. Let him play off the ball. Let him do that. So, you know, I think you guys going to be good, man. I like I said, I give you guys fourth seed, fifth seed. I think you guys going to make some push. I think you guys going to make some second year, I see you guys win the championship. I don't see it this year, though. I don't see it this year. But
that's fair. That's fair. I will agree. I say
– now, if you get there – now, I will say this. LeBron James is a walking finals. He walked into the finals. Now, he done it in the East.
Exactly.
But I still believe in my heart of heart that if that man on your team, I believe that he can get you there. Some kind of way, I think he can figure out.
And who can beat us with the team we have right now in the East?
I think Boston will push.
Who else?
Nobody else gonna push it.
Exactly. I give it 2 years, three at the most. We're gonna have a championship in LA.
Well, I'm glad you like LeBron now.
I didn't say I like LeBron. I've never said I like LeBron. Lakers I respect
fan,
LeBron.
Lakers fan, blow me right now. You guys haven't had a superstar since Kobe. You should be immersing yourself in LeBron, regardless of how you feel about him in Cleveland or your personal feelings. He is a megastar.
I'm not denying it. Hell, I just saw LeBron last week. I watched both his oldest son play at Nationals.
Oh, you guys were at the same?
Yes.
Was he on the court?
Yes. He was on. Might as well
with the little cushion on the back.
That was LeBron James just sitting from me probably to my car.
How many people were there? I was packed.
Oh, you don't have to ask.
He brought the crowd with him.
I mean, no, but yes, it was enough people there. But of course, his son was playing, so of course, everyone's going to surround that area. Then when he came out, the place went bananas, and we were actually playing. He was on court one. We were on court two when we played. So. During warm-ups, you know, we know his son is playing. But when you hear the crowd erupt, you know who's coming in. I did not get out of my seat, just to make that clear. I didn't move. I'm not starstruck by LeBron.
Okay.
I did, on the last day, watch his son play.
Is he nice? As what he's showing on YouTube?
Yes, he's good. But there are players on his team better.
Are you just saying it? Just be saying it. Or are you just
no? Like, I'm telling you what I saw my own too. Because there's a kid on that team that beat him last year. That gave him 30, and they wouldn't recruit the kid. Now he's on a team.
They say. I have heard this that they say his youngest son is nice though.
Now there's a point guard on the younger son's team who plays like Kyrie right now with the vision. Passing the ball, dribbling. He's playing better than some point guards in the NCAA right now.
Did you see his younger son play too?
His younger son is in a cast. He did not play.
They say he's nice too. They say he nice though. But you know, of course, he got to get that growth spurt and he going to get that.
Yes.
And LeBron James is going to work with him just as hard. He worked with Bronny as well too. But
yes.
You know,
yes.
Moving on, but.
Let's take it down to the Alamo.
This is the last segment, people. We ended with the Alamo and what went down with that. So you start off. This is your go,
Mr. Kawhi Leonard. I wish we could have traded for you. I want you in LA. I'm gonna just call a spade a spade. I'm glad Toronto was renting you for a year.
How you know that?
Man, he ain't staying in the six.
You don't know?
I don't know. This is just all speculation, of course, what I want. Listen, man. Kawhi is not staying in Toronto. All right? I already talked to Unk. Nobody else talked to Kawhi.
Okay.
I talked to Unk. Okay. Unk told me we coming to L.A. He already let it be known where he wanted to go.
Okay.
So to piss Kawhi off, we're going to send you out of the country, literally.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
With the great San Antonio organization, the mastermind coach, they're going to find a way to do the opposite of what you want. All right?
They needed to do that.
I get it. They needed one. They needed a piece.
Well, no, not only that, they did not want to play him twice. I mean, it's a matter, well, four times in the West. They didn't want to. They didn't want to see him. They didn't want to see him. The same thing how Cleveland should have did with damn Kyrie. You want to go? We're gonna send you over to Phoenix. Go down there. Go play with them. That's what I
believe. But you know something? I'm gonna say this. Phoenix will make the playoffs in the next 2 years. Mark my words.
Finish Kawhi.
You don't believe me, but you remember this conversation.
Finish
but
Kawhi.
I feel like Kawhi should have handled that situation differently. I don't agree with what Kawhi did. He should have been an adult instead of being childish, letting someone else speak for you like you're a kid, letting your uncle speak for you. You know what I'm saying? If someone like David Robinson reaches out to you, answer the phone, man. Return the phone call. Just hear him out. If nothing else, one of the nicest guys ever come across the NBA reaches out to you and gets on national TV and says, hey, you never returned my phone calls, never spoken with a guy, maybe spoken with him five times in his stint here in San Antonio. That says a lot about you as a person.
He's just a different guy. But
he's very different. I understand to each his own. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, you still have to be respectful of the ones that played before you. And if someone like that is reaching out to you, man, you know, just I didn't say go out there and hold his hand. Just reach out, take his hand, have the conversation, be cordial, you know, and then handle your business, you know, in the office behind closed doors. Don't be spiteful, you know. That's Greg Pop is a favorite, a coach, a player's coach. A player's favorite for I don't know how many years now. He speaks up about social issues.
He do.
Great mastermind. He just happened to run into Phil Jackson a time or two. He's, some may argue, better than Phil Jackson because he didn't have the talent that Phil Jackson had with Kobe and Jordan. He still had a Tim Duncan, still had a Ginobili, still had a Parker.
He did.
So, I mean, Pop, you know, is a genius.
He is.
But with that, I still feel like Kawhi handled it different when I say all that. He's in Toronto now. The way Toronto handled DeRozan was pretty low down and dirty, I feel, in my opinion. Toronto basically lied to the man, and the man has every right to feel how he feels, say what he has to say. Like he said, the date is circled on his calendar. He's looking for the schedule next month. You really can't be mad at him. I definitely can't tell the person how to feel, but you definitely can't be mad at him either because he took less money to help the team build, and then they ship him out of town like that, like overnight, like the Baltimore Colts did when they just up and, you know, loaded the Mayflower and got out of town. That's your word is not good enough in an organization.
No.
Your word is definitely not good enough. New GM or not, you fired the best coach in the East, who gave you the best record in the East. You fired him, which it puzzles me. Coach of the year, you fired the man.
Can get through LeBron, which is
who could? You can't be mad at him for that.
Yeah.
You have to do something better. You have to recruit better players with the money that you lied and said you're going to get better players with. You come back with Serge Ibaka. Come on, man.
Trash.
I mean, you have to give somebody better, something better than that. DeRozan was owed something better than that. Anybody speak different? I question your judgment on loyalty.
Mm. You know what? I get what you're saying. I think you're making a good point. And I think I did him wrong about trading him. But, you know, how the Spurs look at it, listen, we're giving you Kawhi. We got to get something back, too. So, yeah, we got to get DeRozan. And for them to try to keep Kawhi there in Toronto, they acquired Danny Green. And hopefully that can be enough for him.
It's hurt.
Yeah, but they're saying that, you know, they brought that Danny Green was imported into the package because they're good friends. He's the only one that pretty much he trusts within the San Antonio.
You taught me something new there.
So that's why that was key for the owner to get him in, and hopefully that they can push. Now the thing is you know, hopefully that he gonna go out there and play. Kawhi got a play, man, and all just want to sit out. Or if he's mad that he left. He didn't get a chance to go to L.A. Clippers, L.A. Lakers, whatever he went, because he said he went in L.A. And, you know, reports were coming out saying that he may not have been too fun of playing with LeBron, which I think is crazy, but that's just what it is. But you know, they're going to have to do something to try to keep him there because you gave up a star player for – and and uncertainty that you don't know you're going to get from Kawhi, meaning that you don't know if he's going to stay signed or, you know, because he's going to be a free agent. And that's what Magic is saying. You know what, Kawhi, go on to Toronto. Ball. You beat us is cool. Because there's a chance that we can get you next year and get this match deal with you because I got this another slot open. I got this slot open. So we're going, he said, we're going to chill on this. Go ahead and go because I'm not going to give up Kuzma.
I'm not giving up. Definitely not.
I'm not giving up Ingram. I'm not giving that up. I'm just not. And that's one thing they're saying. So, and that's what the Spurs made it abundantly clear. If you want Kawhi, we want these core pieces. And they knew that Magic was not gonna buck on that. They knew. So they said we're gonna make the price so high where you're gonna say no. No. First thing coming out of my mouth, nah, ain't doing it. Nope, move on. I like Kawhi. Man, the problem is I love Kawhi. I would love to have him down here with LeBron. LeBron, we got you. We going to ride with you, and we'll figure 2019 out when they get here.
And it's a lot of good prospects coming out in 2019.
It is.
But I will say, DeRozan.
And that's my talk. And that's my speak on it.
DeRozan, I really do empathize with you, man. I really get it. You were just a piece in the puzzle, man. You were a pawn in the chess match, brother. It should have been Kyle Lowry because he's not like that, in my opinion.
I said that.
That's just me.
That's just me. I said that. But I almost got ridiculed for it. But you know, it is what it is.
But enough about sports, man. I'm gonna take it to my second home. Here at Greenwood, South Carolina, man. There are a lot of things wrong with my city, man. It's a lot of senseless violence going on right now, man. It's just really crazy, and it really hurts me that a lot of our young men are making the wrong decisions. A lot of people say, you know, there's not nothing for the kids to do. They don't have anyone to look up to, this, that, and the third. I will agree to an extent with that. They don't have access to the YMCA. They don't have access to, you know, local things. I get all that. So what are we going to do here in Greenwood as a people, as a community, to provide that for them? What are we going to do? I need some answers. I need some feedback. Let's get some help because losing these kids, man, just becoming statistics is crazy. Crazy. When my 11-year-old son comes to me and asks me, Dad, why do they have to shoot Tay? I was like, huh? He's like, why did they shoot Tay? Why do they have to kill him? How do you answer that? How do you answer that, people? Tell me how you answer that.
Okay.
What is your answer to 11-year-old to help him understand what's going on? That bothers me. That bothers me. That really, truly bothers me. And this is not a problem just here in Greenwood. I'm speaking of Greenwood because I'm here. This shit is happening all over the country. We need something done. Whether it starts with, you know, something small. And I'm going to take this to send this out really quickly.
Oh, before you say, I do want to speak on just say one quick little thing. Go ahead.
On August 18th, right? One of Greenwood's positive figures to look up to is having an event, right? And I think it'll be a great event for everyone to come out to. I'm not saying it's gonna change everything. I'm not saying it's gonna change Greenwood. I'm not saying any of that. Only thing I'm saying is it's a start.
It is a stepping stone. It is a start. Okay? August 18th, 2018, at the Brewer Recreation Center, they're having the first annual Hoopers vs. the Cops. Okay? That's Sean Mims and Mr. Courtney Smith. Okay? They've worked together endlessly for the past few months getting this going on, and it's finally happening. Even if you don't like basketball,
come out.
Even if you don't like Sean, even if you don't like the police, whatever, come out to get to know one of the two. Okay? Put your pride aside. Take the time out. Come out. They have a meet and greet. Express what you have to say. Express your concerns. Express your possible ideas. Anything you bring to the table is helpful. But don't sit up there and get on Facebook and have all the ideas talking junk and it amounts to nothing. Bashing the police. You're not helping the problem. You're not giving a solution. You're only adding fuel to the fire. Only thing you're doing is rallying up others that have the same like mind as you to go against the police. I'm not saying all police are bad. I'm not saying all police are good. What I'm telling you is don't put yourself in that situation.
You know, I'm not going to speak too much on it, man. It's a sad situation. I hope people can get their stuff together with these guns, man, and want to live. And I was thinking about something, and it was in my mind today. I remember something that Jay-Z said, and I wanted to say it correctly because I didn't want to say, I think it said this, but I want to make sure I said it right. You know, he said, if I shoot you, I'm brainless. But if you shoot me, then you're famous. And it resonated with me so much when what's going on with these kids, man. They on the Instagram or Facebook or whatever, Twitter, what they doing with the guns and showing this. And, you know, I'm a little older than you, so of course, you know, when I was coming up at Greenwood, I remember, like, you know, we had a code. You know, that's when beepers was popping. They had pay phones at the gas stations or whatever. And you had a cell phone mounted in your car. I had a cell phone mounted in my car or whatever. But, and somebody, the beeper go off and your boy hit you and they put, like, star 112. And everybody had a little code, but that was our code, 112. That means, yo, come and get me. Scoop me up. We got to go, you know, ride around. And at the time, East Cambridge was the spot that people used to walk on. And you may go to somebody's house over there, but you rode around East Cambridge. That was like the black man paradise. That's what they used to call it. Black man paradise on East Cambridge. And then, of course, with drugs going on still like it was now. But, you know, it was a different type of era then. You know, it was back in the 90s, like 95, 96, 97, 94, but whatever. People didn't, you know, people had guns, but they just fought, man. And like, oh, man, there was somebody over there fighting. And then you try to drive, like, man, and see them fight, whatever. Or what happened, whatever. But now it's like, nah, I'm taking your life. And it blows me because I'm just trying to figure out what if someone took their life. Like, I love, listen, I'm not the richest person in the world. I'm not. But I do enjoy my life. And I feel like if you enjoy waking up every day, go and do what you want to do, that involves life. So I don't understand why you got to go take somebody else's life to please or to satisfy your thirst or wanting to say that you hard. And it just blows my mind, man. Like it just puzzles me, man, because it just, I don't understand, what's cool to me is going to school and getting good grades and being the dopest kid that you can be and chilling. What's cool is while they up here trying to talk smoking weed and with the guns on Instagram, Go get some girls, man. I mean, serious. Go get some girls. Like, spend your time trying to go get some chicks. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to promote no sex in them, but go, you know what I'm saying? Go get some girls, man. Go get some girls, man. Like, you waste your time trying to kill somebody. Go waste your time trying to go spend some game at some girls, man, and talk with some sense.
Or if that's not your thing, go join the military. You want to use guns.
Go to the library. Go read up and go get some knowledge on some stuff.
Go find a way how to get grants. Go find a way how to get money funded. Go volunteer your time helping the youth.
So
I do my thing. I'm not sitting there saying I'm the perfect. I have all the answers. I do what I can. I help the ones I can reach. I've got myself into something I think I love, you know, just as much as I love my family. I got into coaching.
Yeah, I mean,
I love it.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? That's my way of giving back. I'm dedicating my time, my effort, my time away from my family to go coach other people's children. Yes, my children are there.
Was the kid well known?
From my understanding, yes. I've seen the kid around my neighborhood. I don't know him. I know his mother well.
And the kid that shot him, was he not known like that?
No one knows. No one. That's the thing. Man, that's another thing. Let me touch on this. This snitching shit, right? Damn all of that. If it was your family that got shot, got hurt, you would want someone to speak up, right?
No. They're not gonna do that. See, and that's what we're missing. That. So, cause they in their mind frame, oh, they shot one of mine, so now I'm gonna shoot one of them.
That's a stupid mentality. Just so you know, wake up, people. That's a stupid mentality. You're hurting more than you. You're hurting more than yourself. You're hurting more than that other person you shot or shot at. You're hurting yourself. Think about it.
You ever watch Lean On Me?
I did not.
You never watched Lean On Me?
I did not.
You need to watch Lean On Me. But there's a scene in Lean On Me where there's a guy named Kid Ray. And Kid Ray was getting his ass whooped. This dude was whooping his ass over some drugs. And Joe Clark run down there and saved Kid Ray and got the dude out of school. So Kid Ray got himself cleaned back up, and he's like, "Yeah, Mr. Clark, what's going on? You know, man, listen." He said, "Man, you know, I'm be like you, Mr. Clark." He said, "Oh, yeah, whatever, man. You know, get your books. You know, get your grades." He said, "Yeah, Mr. Clark, I want to talk to you about that." He said, "What's up, son? What's going on?" He said, "Man, I don't think the school stuff for me." He said, "What made you doing so well in school?" Yeah, man, but I don't think it's for me. He said, "Son, listen, you'll be dead in a year. You will be dead in a year." He said, "Do you hear me, son? You'll be dead in a year." The point I'm trying to make is that what he was saying is that your education is so important where you want to go out there and create a life for yourself and for if you have a family so you can move from a situation so then you can start living. You're going on these streets and try to slay these drugs and try to sell whatever you're going to sell and try to get this fast money. Lil Wayne always said, he said he liked that slow money because that fast money don't last long. He did say that. I remember on the line, I can't remember what song he said it on, but that's what he said. They got to understand, man, anything that takes work, you got to put the work in. I mean, anything that you want worth having, you got to put the work in. That's what you got to do. And I hope somebody listening, I hope their kids get better. But, you know, I'm not here to talk on and preach on the man. But, hey, listen, Dominic can talk some more, but I'm out.
Last thing I'm going to say, man, parents, be parents, man. Be parents. Be parents, man. That's it. Just be parents. That's it. A lot of these kids need parents, mother, father, both, if possible. I can take this conversation so many different ways, but I just wanted to touch on it, man, because it really pisses me off.
If I shoot you, I'm brainless, but if you shoot me, you're famous.
Let that sink in, people. Let that sink in, because guess what? It won't matter. It don't matter now to some of you. A lot of you will never matter until it touches your front door. When it hits your front door, that's when you may worry. That's when you may listen. But it's too late at that point, all right? It's going to be way too late at that point, all right? Way too late. So let's do something about it now while we can. Little things. It's the little things, man. Pay your children attention. Spend time with them. It's the little things, man. Get these kids out the streets, man. Take them, hell, take them to Fun Factory. Start them off young. Pay attention to what they're doing in school. Encourage them to do other things besides sports. There's book clubs, other types of clubs. There's other things going on, man. And I'm out, man. I got mad that quick. I got mad that quick. I'm going to drop this joint for y'all, man. I'm going to let y'all hear it. Some of you might know it. Some of you might not. Here you go.
Whoa, yeah. Look at your rollie, look at my rollie, that's a smart face, this a big face, she can't see my room, fuck her in the hallway, getting bored with this money, counting all day, yeah, they thought we were soft, boy, you learned the hard way. Not with all the talking, turned into a closed case. Look, well, I got Della, better vanilla. All white, that plain Jane, yeah. The world's going better, running the better. I took the money and flooded my belt. You down in the rock, computer the same. VVS diamonds, they pop you like hell. I bought the molly to get on my level. Rocking that Ricky and Raffy, my swear. Protect Philippe, they call it like hell. Matter at 10 from the girl at 11. Big diamonds in your rollie, are you rich? Diamond tester, nigga, you better check. Yeah, look at your rollie. Look at my rollie. That's a small face, this a big face, she can't see my room, fuck her in the hallway, yeah. Getting bored with this money, count it all day, on the south side of town, getting me a ball pay, pass her some stuff, we can down it all take, no, can't trust her, she gon' leave us all lays, bust the bankroll in the club where she's like, whoa, yeah, they really want my soul, that can never go. Angel in the snow, always leave me cold. Leave it on the floor, but she sliding from my pole. Like, whoa, speed. You and Ivory is all I need. All agree, we gon' skip the keys, go bare like trees. Get stuck in heat, we go with the dogs and then we bleed. Waiting summer going, I might start my summer league. Baby's on, nigga, get a check and get a tee. Girl, man's on the front, like us man's on his team. Not a small face, this is just an AP. Bitch, you're ready. Look at my rollie, that's a small face, this a big face.